How many of you ready for a revival? Come on. I am thrilled to have to the stage for the fifth time here at North Church, all the way from Charlotte, North Carolina. North Church, would you make him feel welcome? Chetwin Pete, as he comes to preach the word of God. Give it up right now.
Hey, church. Oh, gosh, you look amazing. What have you been doing? What new skincare routines? What you doing? It's been a long. You guys look amazing. You guys look amazing. Can we thank God for your pastors, Pastor Rodney and Shannon? Just talking 21 years of God's faithfulness. And it's amazing. It's amazing. It's an amazing church. I love coming. Love being here. You guys are family. But do me a favor. I need to check something out. Everybody, just kind of do a 360 and look around the room. Go ahead, do it. Go ahead. Look around the room, okay? All right. All right, come back to me. You didn't see it. Do it one more time. Do it again. Gosh, y'all still don't see it. Maybe third time's a charm. Let me see if you see it. Okay. Some of you guys are really intently looking, but still missed it. You see, I was trying to see if you would see the miracles in the room. I was trying to see if you realize that the person you were sitting next to, that they shouldn't be standing up. After all they've gone through, after all they've experienced, that they're standing next to you, a walking, talking miracle. And I don't want you to miss it. And if you like me, I get excited when I see somebody else's miracle. Because that lets me know that it's possible for God to do it in my life. I thought I was at revival on a Sunday. I thought I was at revival today. Can you take a moment and give God praise if you see what I see? Thank you, God. What? Let's jump into God's word today. We're going to remain standing for the reading of the word. They're going to have the scriptures on the screen. We're going to be in Mark chapter 6. Get my iPad open. And they're going to put it up on the screen so you guys can follow along with me. Now, when I pause reading, I'm going to see how intently you are reading with me. You read that next word, okay? Let's do it. Some participation. Let's do it together. Here we go. Immediately, Jesus. Okay. Y'all all right. That's about like a B plus. Could be a plus. I'm gonna try it again. Immediately, Jesus
made.
Anybody ever had Jesus make you do something? Like some of you are in church today because somebody made you come. But you know, at the end of this, you'll realize that sometimes the things that he made you do, it was the making of a miracle. Let's keep going. He made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountain to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them walking on the lake, and he was about to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. What would you do if you saw a ghost? Freak out. Somebody said in the front row, freak out. Anybody saw that movie, Haunted Mansion? Anybody saw it? I saw a couple hands that kind of like here, not all the way up. They're like, is it okay for me to go see that movie? I did go. I don't want them to know. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down, and they all were completely amazed. Anybody had God do something in your life that just blew your mind? Anybody has some things, and when you look at your life, you're like, oh my God, I'm so amazed. By the way, he's healed me, he saved me, he delivered me. I hope today you're taking notes, okay? Not because I'm going to say something so profound, but because I believe the effectiveness of this message is what you do at home. It's what you do at work. It's how you raise your kids. It's you take what God did in this place and you apply it to your life. So write down this title. The title of this message is called Straining to See. Straining to see, straining to see. Ask your neighbor on your way to your seats, when was the last time you got your eyes checked? Ask him, when was the last time you got your eyes checked? You can be seated, you can be seated, you can be seated. And as you take your seat, can you help me thank God for the amazing volunteers here at North Church? In particular, can we thank God for the production team? The lyrics on the screen, all of the details, all the scriptures, we put up this camera, all of these things. Here's the thing about the production team. Many of them you can't see, but they're so significant. Somebody you don't see can turn off this microphone. Can we thank God for the production team? Because sometimes the things that you can't see are just so, so significant. And I think God came to me, he just really wanted me to speak to you about your sight today. As I was preparing this message a week ago, my twin boys just turned 12 years old. And I get real nostalgic, you know, when we get to birthdays and we start looking at old pictures. And here's a picture from my boys' preschool graduation. Yeah, me and my wife, we did that. We made these beautiful boys. But, you know, what was funny is looking at this picture, I can't tell them apart. I don't know who's who. I don't. And if Whitney tells you she knows who they are, she was guessing. Because tomorrow she'd have said the one on the left. Or, you know what I mean? She doesn't know either. But they're identical twins, and it's so sweet looking. I get really, really close to start straining, and I really can't tell. I don't know who's who on this picture. But they're growing up so fast. I mentioned they just turned 12. So here's their picture from their fifth grade graduation. These are sixth graders. These are sixth graders. They are 5'8". Yes, they are tall. They're 5'8". And now you can see they have their own little swagger. You know, different haircuts, different outfits. But if you look real close, you'll see Carter actually has glasses on. That's Carter on the left with glasses. You can take the picture down. You can take the picture down. So next time I bring the boys up here, when you come up to them, remember, Carter wears glasses, Carson doesn't. So when you use Carter wears glasses. So you come up to him and say, hey, what's going on, Carter? He'll probably be real freaked out because most people just come up there and say, hey, twins, or hey, boys. You guys will be ahead of the game because you'll know Carter wears glasses. So a couple years ago, we went to the doctor for our checkup. And they realized that one of Carter's eyes didn't develop all the way. One of his eyes didn't develop all the way. So his other eye had been overcompensating for him to be able to see. And so they went in and it was like, hey, we got to do some corrective things to be able to get this there. So they had him wear a patch on one of his eyes for a little bit. And then he took that off. And then they had his prescription made for his first set of glasses. And I remember him putting these glasses on. It took a couple seconds for it to adjust. But his eyes get real big. And he starts turning around in a circle looking at the room. And he says, Dad, has it always looked like this? It's so bright and the colors and it's so sharp. Like, he was amazed. He was amazed. You see, Carter, he could see, but he couldn't see clearly. He had vision, but he couldn't see everything. And so God came to me and wanted me to come tell you that he wants you to see everything that he has in store for your life. That it would be a shame for you to go through life only seeing a partial picture of the promises that God has over your life. You know, maybe for you, one part of your life is blessed, but you don't have vision for everything. I want to see it all.
I want to see my marriage blessed. I want to see my family blessed. I want to see my ministry blessed. I want to see my money blessed. Is there anybody else that got vision for their life? Tell your neighbor, say, I want to see it all. 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 But here's the thing I get frustrated with sometimes about Jesus. Sometimes he makes me mad, be honest with you. Jesus will sometimes, you know, show you a picture of where he's taking you to, but he'll leave out what you got to go through to get there. Anybody else, you get frustrated like me? And that's what happened in the text. You see, Jesus tells the disciples, he's like, hey, I need you guys, get into the boat. You guys going to go to Bethsaida. So they had in their mind, we're going to Bethsaida. Jesus omitted the fact that they would be going through a storm. He omitted the fact that there'd be rain, there'd be wind, and it would be difficult, and they would have to strain to get there. I'm so proud of the disciples because when they had resistance, they chose not to stop. For some of us, we take resistance as a sign to quit. We take resistance as a sign to give up. We take resistance as a sign to say, I must be growing the wrong way. I love it here because we can see the disciples as they say, no. He said, go to Bethsaida. I don't care that it's raining. I don't care that it's wind blowing against me. I'm going to strain to see what God said. How about you write that down? Say, I'm going to strain to see what God said. Where is God sending you? Where is he sending you? Where did he tell you to go? He said, to church. Yeah, you're right. But for some people, he's not just sending you to church. He's sending you to be the church. For some of you, it's this idea. It's not this external thing. It's like God's sending me to a new city or sending me to a new state. Sometimes it's a new state of mind. Sometimes it's he's sending you to have more peace. He's sending you to have more joy. And you don't realize what it's going to take to get to what Jesus said. I just celebrated your pastor's 21 years of God's faithfulness in this ministry. You guys get to see all the buildings now, 1,000 people. We just launched the fifth experience. Like all of the things God is doing, it's amazing. But you don't see all of the straining that it took year after year. Your pastor's crying tears with people. Your pastor's praying for people. Some people doing your pastor's wrong. People that said they would be them forever, they left. They strained to see what God said. Yeah, me and my wife, we love taking pictures. Well, I love taking pictures, I'll tell you. If you look at my Instagram, we get dressed up, we go on date night, I'm posting it. I'm posting it. If it didn't get posted, it didn't happen. But what I love is I go through the comments and I'll see, hey, hashtag goals, relationship goals, they'll say when they see me and my beautiful wife. They'll say, oh, I like that, I like that. But what they didn't see is me and Whitney got married at 21. Could you imagine how immature we was? Me and my wife, we had to strain through some insecurities. We had to strain. We done been through some stuff together in 15 years. We had to strain through some financial struggles. We had to strain through some loss of some loved ones. We had to strain through difficulties and disagreements. We had to strain because we were committed to seeing a marriage that gave God glory, to seeing a marriage full of hope, full of joy, full of unity. And it didn't come easy. We had to strain for it. I don't know what you're trying to build right now or what God told you to go towards, but for some of you, you stopped because it got difficult. You stopped because it got hard. What we can be encouraged about and be challenged about in this text is the disciples strained to see what God said. But maybe you're here today and you're like, you don't know my story, Chet. You don't know what I'm going through. Matter of fact, I get it. Persevere. Don't give up. Don't quit. I've been doing this for a long time. I've been straining for a long time. And you know what? If I can be honest, I'm getting tired. If I can be honest, this is hard. I've been praying for my kid to get off drugs for a long time. I've been praying. You know what? All of these bills that are getting stacked up over and over again, y'all talk about trusting God in the area of finances and trusting God with the tithe. And I'm trying, but it's hard. And I've been doing this for a long time, and something doesn't seem like it's changing. In this text, remember, it's in the middle of the night. It's about 3 a.m., and the disciples are in the middle of this lake straining to get to Bethsaida. Could you imagine how tired their arms got? Could you imagine? There probably was somebody on the boat that was like, hey, listen, hey, we got to pull this thing off. Some of you have made a decision. You're like, hey, I haven't stopped. I just settled. I just settled. This is good enough. I'll stay here. No. Who is saying today, my faith is being strengthened, that I'm going to strain until I have to? If he said Bethsaida, I'm not going to stop till I get to Bethsaida. If he said I'm going to have joy, I ain't going to stop till I experience joy. If he said my marriage will be blessed, I'm not stopping till my marriage is blessed. But it's hard. It's hard. So what do you do? What do you do? And so it's interesting to me at verse 48, it says something. It says, he saw the disciples. Who is he? Jesus. Jesus saw the disciples straining at the oars. Interesting sentence to me. Straining at the oars. Can I preach about the oars for a couple minutes? About the oars? Okay. So these oars that are in their hand, think big wooden paddles that they would use to row the boat. It said that they were straining with the oars. It would have made sense to me if it would have said they were straining against the wind. Because that's what was blowing against them, right? We were wrestling, we were straining against the wind. But it said they were straining with the oars. God spoke to me and said, some of us, the oars, that's what's in your hand. And he told me, some of us, it's not what's against us that's the problem. We're straining with what's in our hands. We're despising what's in our hands. And that is draining you of energy to continue to pursue everything God has for you. And let's be real. Jesus came to them walking on water. Jesus, I got oars. If you can walk on water, the least you could have did is gave me an engine. Least you could have did gave me an engine. We'd be there already. We'd have been there already. But the oars, little by little, stroke after stroke, little by little, and they're frustrated. And that's what some of you are doing right now. If I had their job, if I had their kids, if I had their mom and dad, if I had their situation, and God has put something in your hands to get you to where you need to go, and you're frustrated, and it's draining you. So what do you do? What do you do? You know what I do? I want to thank God for what's in my hands. So God really started to speak to me when Carter had to go get his glasses. Finally, he's at this stage. And so they go to the store. I couldn't go that day. I had a meeting or something, and I couldn't go. So Whitney's got them at the store. He's picking out his glasses. Now, I see a lot of you wear glasses in the room. And I didn't know this, but there's two sections in the store. There's a section where it's like, these are all the glasses your insurance pays for. That's this section right here. Okay. Then there's this section. This section is like all of the designer frames. I'm talking, there's some Prada glasses. There's some Gucci glasses. There's all these different frames. Tommy Hilfiger, whatever you like. Lacoste, whatever. These are all the designer glasses. My wife FaceTimes me. Where's Carter? Carter is in the designer section without a job. Carter is in the designer section looking at glasses he ain't got no money to pay for. I'm like, what in the world are you doing? I said, babe, if you don't take that boy to that section and pick out. No. But God really spoke to me because it was like this. My son, Carter, he knew the value of a frame. For some reason, he knew that there was something more valuable about these designer frames. And so he said, hey, can I look over here? And maybe you're like, what do you mean? I'm not talking about Gucci glasses. But what if you were to frame your life with gratitude? What if you were to frame your life with the goodness of God? What if you were to frame your life? What if you woke up every morning and you put on some frames and you say, you know what? God's been good to me. You know what? I may have to strain right now, but I got breath in my lungs. I may have to strain right now, but I got health in my body. I may have to strain right now, but I got family that love me. I may have to strain right now, but I got a church to be able to be a part of. I may have to strain right now, but God's been good. Do you know the value of a frame? Do you know the value of a frame? I'll tell you a quick story about a friend of mine from our church. Older gentleman, been a part of church for years. And here recently, he had lost his wife. His wife had passed away. And I called him to talk to him and encourage him and pray with him. And in that conversation, he began to tell me a story about his first wife. He told me, he said, Chet, this isn't the first time that I became a widow. This is the second time. I was married for 20 years, and God gave me the love of my life, and we had children together, and we lived, and 20 years later, she passed away. It was probably about 5 or 6 years that he didn't date, and he said, finally, I had the courage to get out there and date again. He's an old, smooth guy. He's real smooth, real smooth. And he says, I meet this woman, and he said, God prompted my heart to take her on a date, and I fell in love again. And they were married for about five years. She got cancer, battled cancer, and passed away. I'm hearing him tell this story, and you could imagine the emotions that I'm feeling. You're starting to feel him right now. Like, how could he go through something like that? But you know what that man told me? He said, Chet, I know you're trying to encourage me. I know you called to pray for me, but I want to tell you something. Yes, this has been hard. Yes, I miss her. But God's been good to me. There's a lot of people that would have only got an opportunity to love this way one time. But God somehow, some way, saw fit that I would be able to love not once, but two times this way. What a frame of gratitude that he looked through in that moment. He didn't tell me it didn't hurt. He didn't tell me it wasn't hard. But as he was straining, he had some Gucci. No, he had some gratitude frames on. I don't know what you're going through, but if you're tired today and you feel like you don't have the strength to go any further, gratitude could be your superpower. Because Satan wants you to forget all the ways that God has blessed you. He doesn't want you to pay attention to the way that he's moving now. If you got breath in your lungs, God's not done. So maybe that's you. You're straining. You're like, okay. I got to reframe so I can keep doing it. I'm not going to give up. But something interesting happened in this text. And this was really, you know, really drew my attention in. Go back to verse 48. It says, he saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them. Hold on, let me read that again. He came to them walking on the lake. And then it says, he was about to pass by them. That's weird to me. That don't make no sense to me. So you telling me I'm out here on this lake because you told me to go and my arms are tired trying to get to where you told me to go to and you're going to pass me by? I don't know about you, but that doesn't make sense to me. I struggle with that a little bit. And maybe that's where you're at today. You think you're so far gone. It's gotten so hard, it's gotten so difficult that Jesus has passed you by. It won't change. It can't get better. It's over. Go ahead and hang it up. Maybe that's the picture that you have. You have a picture of the back of Jesus' head walking past you. You see, If we read it like that, That's tough to swallow. That's tough. But God told me to give you some hope today. He said, give you some hope today. Because maybe from Mark's perspective, that's what it looked like. But you can see Jesus' intention in his response. Because the moment that they saw him, Jesus gets into the boat, tells them, he comforts them, and then there's peace, there's calmness for them to be able to get to where they need to go. That shows me my Savior's intention. Jesus didn't walk all the way out there just to pass by them. But it made me realize sometimes in life, we're straining so hard, so focused, trying to get to a destination. We're straining so hard trying to build the business. We're straining so hard trying to get out of debt. We're straining, 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 straining. And God told me to tell you this. Don't strain so hard trying to receive the promises of Jesus and you miss Jesus the person. It would be a shame for you to go through life trying to make things happen and Jesus, the Savior of the world, is standing right there. How many times did Jesus walk past him trying to get their attention? How many times did Jesus walk past him trying to get them to look up? And they're just like, no, I just got to make it. I just got to make it. I just got to make it. And they're missing. Jesus was close to them. So they could hear his voice and they still didn't recognize his face. Matter of fact, look at this. It says in verse 48, he saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he came to them walking on the lake. The thing that they were sitting in, Jesus came walking on. I don't know what you're straining with, what you're struggling with today, but see the picture. Of the middle of this situation that Jesus comes walking on. And your head so far down, so focused on trying to make it to the other side that you're missing the Savior of the world standing in front of you. And so I went to Google and got my optometrist degree. Because I was like, you know what? If Jesus was that close to them, if he was that close to them, maybe their eyes needed to get checked. Maybe their vision was messed up. Maybe they needed to get their eyes checked. And so I found the Snellen R chart. This is the Snellen eye chart right here. Some of you guys just got PTSD. Because this is when you found out you were blind. First time you saw this, you was like, oh, okay. And so I did some research on this and I found out that Dr. Snellen put this thing together because he wanted to test a few things. He wanted to be able to test your eye sharpness. He wanted to be able to test eye movement, as well as, I don't know if you noticed, there's a green line, there's a red line. He wanted to be able to see if you were colorblind. So if you don't see red, you don't see green, you may be colorblind, and you might need to go get that checked out. The next thing that I noticed is there are more E's in this chart than any other letter. More E's. There's 10 E's. In the chart, some of you are going, you're looking, trying to find all the E's. There are 10 E's. If you can't find all 10, go see your optometrist, okay? All right, now, big E up top. Big E up top, everybody should be able to see that, right? If you can't see that, please don't drive. Please. If you can't see that big E, I'm telling you, we really, really, really got a problem if you drove to church today. So, as I was studying this and I was looking at it, you see, you got big E's, you got little E's, you got E's in between. There's all these E's. And I was like, God, why you got me going down this rabbit trail? Like, what are you trying to tell me? And sometimes when I'm praying to God and I'm working on a message, and sometimes I hear something and I'm like, oh, that's silly. I'm not saying that. And then God's like, you gonna say what I told you to say. And so here's the thing. I want you to write this down. This is what he told me to tell you. Look for E. Write it down. Look for E. Some of you is like, hey, I know an E. I know Eric. Or Erica. I know them. And I was like, I'm not talking about either one of them. God, what are you talking about? And immediately it jumped in my spirit. I was like, oh, my Lord, I know exactly what you're trying to say. You said look for E. I said, so we got to go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. That's where we got to go. Let's look at it now. Let's look at it right now. This is what he told me to tell you. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which interpreted as God with us. You may be straining right now. You may be struggling right now, but he told me to tell you, look for E. Look for E. Because guess what? No matter where you find yourself, no matter where you look around, he's there, because it tells me Emmanuel, God is with us. Oh, that encouraged me, church. Oh, my goodness, because sometimes I find myself down. Sometimes I find myself struggling, and I need to be encouraged. And now I've just been looking around. Where's he at? Where's he? Where's he? Where's he? And so I told you there was 10 E's on there. Let me give you a few of them. Let's talk about success. Maybe you came in today and you're just walking with a pep in your step because you've been successful. You just got promoted. You're killing the game right now. Here's the problem. If you don't look for E in success and you think for a second you did that yourself, I'm telling you, it was only by God's grace. It was only by his mercy that your marriage is successful, that your kids are in church. Or maybe today you're walking through the lowest failure of your life. But here's the thing I know about failure. If I stick at it long enough, I'm gonna find E right at the end of it. Because no matter where I go, I know that he's with me. Hey, put the whole sheet up. Put the whole sheet up. Put the whole sheet up. Put the whole sheet up for me. Put the whole sheet up for me. You see this? So I don't, maybe you find yourself in this for a second. Maybe you find yourself in this. It's like success, failure. Maybe it's your wedding day. Maybe it's your wedding day. You know what I love about wedding days is when they do the three-strand cord. You know what I'm talking about? But there's three strands cords that they braid together. One's for the husband, one's for the wife, and then one's for God. Because the marriage won't work. It won't be held together if God's not in the middle of it. So they braid it together. And so on your wedding day, I want God with me. But maybe you walked in today and you walked through a divorce. And you still are carrying the shame of it. You still don't want people to know about that part of your life. You kind of bury it aside. Here's the thing I know, is that even at the end of a divorce, I can find God's grace right there with me. I can find his mercy right there with me. In peace and stress and sickness and health. If you feel like everything's good, I'm walking through heaven on earth. Or if you feel like you're going through hell, look for E. Tell your neighbor, look for E. 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 But everybody stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. I want to show you something else that really stood out to me in this text that really, really blessed me. Because I've been talking about our sight, right? I want you to see. I want you to see. I want you to see. I want you to see what God wants you to see. But that's not how this started. You see, when you go to verse 48, it says, he saw the disciples. Who's he? Jesus. It didn't start with how good my eyes are. It started with Jesus's. Let's go back to verse 46. Let's go a couple verses up so this can really make some sense to you. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. So Jesus goes way up on this mountain. Way up on this mountain to pray. He's coming to pray to God, talk to God, and he's praying. So where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? He's in this mountain. Pay attention to the text. After leaving him, he went up to a mountainside to pray. Verse 47. Later that night, what time is it? Nighttime. It gets dark at night, right? Later that night, it's nighttime. The boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. Jesus is on top of the mountain praying. The disciples, way, in the middle of this lake at nighttime. It would have taken anywhere between 6 and 8 hours to row all the way across this lake. It's about 3 to 6 a.m. in the morning. It's nighttime. Wind is blowing. Rain is coming down. They're in the middle of this lake. Jesus is way on top of this mountain. Maybe this is how you feel today. So far away from Jesus. So far away from God. Maybe this is where you identify yourself right now. I can't see him. I can't trace him. I don't know where he is. The thing that I'm trying to get you to understand, please, the power of your Holy Spirit, God, make them to receive this. You may be straining to see Jesus, but Jesus never took his eyes off of you. You may be looking, I don't feel him, I can't trace him. It brought me comfort to realize that no matter where I find myself, he sees me. He sees me. He sees you. Just to make this even a little bit more plain, as I was praying for you, praying for this moment, I thought about the story of the prodigal son. If you don't know this story, there's a son who comes to his father. He's like, hey, give me my inheritance. Give me my inheritance. Ultimately, it was like this money that he knew he was going to have, and he said, give it to me now. And so he gets the money. He didn't have a plan. He didn't go invest it. He didn't go do any of that. He went to Vegas. And the Bible says he squandered it all. He lost it all. Lost every penny. Thank you, God. Maybe you came here today and you feel like you lost it all. Maybe you walked in today. That's how far away you feel from God. I lost it all. This young son, he comes to his senses and he's like, you know what? I need to go back to my father's house. It had got so bad. It got so bad that he's in this pig pen working for a pig farmer. And he says to him, he says, gosh, my belly's growling. I'm so hungry. He looks at what the pigs are eating and started to think, I should eat this to fill my stomach. How low can you get to be able to start to think I'm going to eat what the pigs eat? I got to move on. I can't do that. But what was beautiful to me, he came to his senses and he says, you know what? I'm going to go back to my dad. And this is the speech I'm going to say. This is Luke chapter 15, verse 18. It says this, I will set out and go back to my father. And I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. This is what he's going to tell his dad. So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a he's still a long way off. Gosh. While he was still a long way off, his father. Maybe that's where you're at today. I lost it all. I feel so far away from my God. While he was a long way off. How long? I don't know. Did his father see him the moment his foot came out of that pig pen? Where did he see him? Where did he see him? I believe he never took his eyes off of him. Even in his darkest moments. So the message today is that yes, I don't want you to stop straining to see everything that God has called you to, but I don't want you to take your eyes off of Jesus. And I wanted you to be encouraged to know that he never takes his eyes off of you. I need to take you to the cross for a moment. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 really made this come to life for me. It says this, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance. What is it? Strain. Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep going. Perseverance, the race marked out for us. Don't worry about them. No, what he's called you to do, where he's called you to go. Then it says this, it says what? Fixing our eyes on Jesus. You're not gonna make it. You're not gonna make it if you don't fix your eyes on him. You're not gonna make it if you don't keep your eyes on him. You gotta see Jesus. The pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Listen to this. for the joy set before him. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What is that saying? The joy set before him, he endured the cross. So Jesus' arms are stretched on this cross, with nails in his wrists, nails in his calves. God, what a picture. And he's straining to take his last breath. But it said the joy set before him. What is he talking about? He's talking about you. He saw your face. He saw your face, and it gave him joy as he was straining to take his last breath. He was straining to see you healed. He was straining to see you saved. He was straining to see you delivered. He was straining to see your life restored. He was straining so that he would end up with all power and all authority. And so today, the way that we're going to end this time is we're going to open up the altar. We're going to give you a moment to come down and for us to be able to pray with you. My prayer this weekend was that God would touch your eyes. And he would touch your eyes for you to be able to see. For some of you, it's simply to see Jesus. Today, for the first time, maybe you're starting to see who he is for the first time. A loving God. Or maybe some of you today, when I started to preach about straining at the oars, that was you. And you're tired. And you're tired. And you don't see a way out. God wanted you to be able to see that there was strength available for you. He wanted you to see that there was hope available for you. He wanted you to know that it's not over, that it's not done. And so prayer team's getting into place. Prayer team's getting into place. And I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, if maybe the first one was you, it was like, you know what? I need to see Jesus face to face. I need to see him. That's what he wanted you to say. I want you to move on the count of three. Here we go. One, two, three. Move now if that was you. Today's the day that you needed to see Jesus. Today's the day that you recognize that he's calling you closer to him. Move now, move now, move now. Move now, move now, move now. Now, if you're here today and you're tired, you've been straining for a long time, you know Jesus, but it's getting hard, and you've been this close to throwing in a towel, and you needed your eyes to be open today to see that there's hope for you, to see that there's a way for you, to see that God's not done. I make up stories sometimes of what you might be going through, and I believe that the Holy Spirit will speak and open up your eyes to see where there is no way, he can make a way. And so on the count of three, if that's you, I just need to be restored. I need my eyes open to have hope. You've been ready to throw in the towel. If that's you, on the count of three, move now. One, two, three, go now. Go now. Go now. Go now. I see you. I see you. I see you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I got a sense that somebody walked in today. You were straining in your own strength for so long, and you were thinking about taking your life. God said, not on my watch. He said, if you still got breath in your lungs, I'm not done. Today is the day that many of you, you're coming to the end of yourself. I'm done straining by myself. I'm gonna seek the face of Jesus. You got. Maybe you're here today, all you see is darkness. All you see is darkness. Darkness in your home. Darkness on your job. And it's like the weight of depression is just taking you out. I want to tell you that there is a light for you. There is a light for you. There is a light for you. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Don't walk out of this room. Don't walk out of this room not being revived. Revival is here. Guess what? There's an E in the middle of revival. And I came to tell you that Emmanuel is in this place. And he has what you need. The altar is open. Move now. Move now. Move now. Move now. Can we lift up the biggest shout of praise? Can we thank God in this place? Can we shout thank you, Jesus? Can we give